Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete Sweeney! 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 Pete Sweeney!
It's that time of the week where we bring in our guy, Pete Sweeney, from Arrowhead Pride. I think it's been a while since we had the Pete Sweeney intro on this show. You know, it's the off season, a couple weeks off, although the draft right around the corner. Pete, I got to start, though. I've heard rumors are that you got a sneak peek of a song that we will be, I guess, hearing at 12:30 today. Is this true?
Yeah. They say that you don't get a lot of perks at 610 Sports Radio. This is one of them, for sure, that I get a sneak preview of these songs. And I'm not trying to blow steam up Cody. I'm not trying to provide false hype. I think this is the best song yet. I really do. I think people are in for a treat. I think they're going to be singing it to themselves all afternoon, and I'm excited to see the reaction here.
Okay. More listens today from 610 Sports Radio listeners, the Tortured Poets Society, or my new upcoming song, Mikel.
Yeah. Well, I do know that, there's obviously a ton of Swifties out there. I know Lance is the leader of the Codies. And if Lance is answering to this, I know that he's going to say that many more people will be listening to your song, Cody.
Have you, just out of curiosity, have you over at Arrowhead Pride started to break down the album and the songs that might be about Travis? Obviously, everyone's speculating Alchemy for sure, but there's a few others in the mix.
Yeah, we've been evaluating. I got a couple of team members on that. We're piercing through So High School at the moment, and we'll continue. I mean, it was a Drake number of songs. I've always gotten on Drake for this. He just releases like 35 songs, and four happen to be good. I mean, what's the percentage on that? I mean, that's more of an Alex question, I'm sure. But she did. She shot a lot of shots. This is the Russell Westbrook Taylor Swift album for sure.
A double album, I believe. Surprise people. 31 songs. You were just on the call though with Chiefs general manager Brett Veach as he was talking ahead of next week's draft. What was the biggest thing that stood out to you? Because I kind of centered around the left tackle conversation.
Yeah, I think every offseason we're really always transfixed on one or two positions, and I think for all of us, it has been consensus wide receiver and offensive tackle. I think wide receiver is a little bit interesting just because even before the Rashee Rice situation, I figured that they would add two receivers in the draft. I still feel that way. If anything, the Rashee Rice situation and maybe missing, we're not breaking this down, but maybe 1 to 4 games would make you even need a receiver maybe a little bit more. I'm not sure how much it changes everything, but I know we're looking at the receiver position. It seemed like Brett Veach felt the same way that I did going into the press conference, that they were looking at that anyway. And then I think really, truly, because they did add Hollywood Brown at that position, the biggest position battle will be left tackle, I think, going into training camp. It's the blind side of Patrick Mahomes. I know there's more respect for right tackles nowadays than there used to be, but this is a key position to just make sure that he stays on his feet. Right now, the guy is Wanya Morris. I thought Brett Veach was refreshingly forthcoming just about the idea that maybe Morris isn't that guy. They felt good about some things, not so good about others. He more or less confirmed that there will be a competitor brought in. And I wonder if that is with the top pick. If again, I think they need to fall in what I've been starting to call the Trent McDuffie range, which is 21 to 31. But an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle falls within that range, I think the Chiefs will be making calls.
What about, so when he talked about wide receiver, he continues, and you had an article up. We referenced it yesterday on the show at Arrowhead Pride that said the Chiefs are not willing to give up on Tony. Can I just ask why? Because I'm ready. Like, I'm more than willing to just be like, it was good, fun experiment, good times. They won a couple Super Bowls. It's fine. But I'm more than ready to just be like, I'm good on Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, I think, well, you have him under contract right now. I think there's no chance the Chiefs pick up that fifth-year option, similar to how they felt with Clyde. And I think if you throw away last year, and I know that's part of the equation, but if you throw away last year and look what he was able to do the year before, even strictly from a returning standpoint, I think that's where you lean into what Tony could do. The off-the-field distraction is only okay if he's producing on the field, and I think he's had an availability problem, and so that's kind of bled into his story as well. But I think if you look at this team, Mecole Hardman isn't back. I know that everyone wants to hop on the LRZ train and think that that's the answer, but this team needs to identify a returner, and the returner that they pick, it's not necessarily – the same return as it's been in previous years. I think this is going to be an incredibly important part of the game. I mean, they're trying to get returns on every kick now. It's a vast difference from last year. And that position is very, very, very key. And I think it's going to provide teams that treat it seriously a huge advantage because, you know, in years past, we've always talked about, like, what would it look like if Patrick Mahomes was always starting on 30, 40-yard line? With them enhancing the return and wanting returns, that is just such an important position. It's going to be an advantage to return and not have it be a touchback. And so I think that's part of the energy. Like, if you can keep Tony's head on straight off the field, if you can keep his body healthy, perhaps he could be one of the better players at that position. And the Chiefs always look for every advantage. So I think maybe some of that energy comes from the return game.
I'm with you on the return game. I only wonder, though, correct me if I'm wrong, this new change to kickoffs is a one-year trial run, right? I mean, if the league hates it, if the coaches hate it, then it's gone. So I Tony's only got a year left on his contract anyway, so it's not jeopardizing anything long-term. I how many teams are going to make a huge shift there when there's a chance that a year from now we're talking about kickoffs either not existing or it's an even different change than what if this doesn't work out this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I think a lot of times, I mean, I don't have the numbers on this, not like I looked it up coming into this interview, but a lot of times the one-year trial becomes permanent. I think the outlier that you saw in it was the pass interference.
Right.
That could be reversed. I think the NFL, I guess Chiefs included in that, want this to work, right? I think referees essentially got together in a almost like a colluding effort to say, we're not doing this. They just stick it out. Whereas I think they want to make returns part of the game. And I think we've seen it work in other leagues, you know, obviously a lot less eyeballs than the NFL. And so, you know, for me, I just think that this will be something that lasts. But you make a good point, I think, for keeping Tony. It's only 1 year commitment. And if it is only 1 year and there isn't as much use for him next year, the Chiefs walk away. And just because I'm saying this doesn't mean I think he's certainly making the 53-man roster. If you do the math, and we don't need to go through it, but let's say they do add two receivers in the draft, those guys are making it. They probably have three mainstays. If you're keeping seven, then you're looking at a decision to make between Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and the wonder kind, Justin Ross. And so that becomes a tough decision of who to say goodbye to from there. So it's all about, you know, the roster construction. And I think Tony has a shot here, but again, he's got to have a good training camp.
6 days ahead of the draft, Pete, do you still think it's more likely they just stay at 32, trade up, or trade down?
Yeah, I think that, and I know that Brett addressed this in the press conference, I think the Chiefs are having a lot more trouble getting teams to play ball with them than maybe they'd even want to let on in like the public eye. It's hard to trade up because I think the Chiefs have been so damn good at this that it's gotten like almost to the point of like the Tampa Bay Rays in baseball or some of these small market teams of like, well, the Rays or, you know, in this case, the Chiefs are calling us. Which player do they want? And why don't we want that player?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're And if you're an AFC team, it's probably like, oh, God, do we want to make them better, you know, at this point? And so, you know, I think, you know, you factor that part in, it becomes 32. And then if they don't have a player that they, like, love, I think they're probably trying to trade out. And I think teams are more apt to trade with them to trade in than trade out. And so if I'm answering that question, I think the most likely thing, all things considered, is trading down. Mm-hmm. You know, even considering last year when I know they tried to trade down to get out of the pick, which was Felix. I think they liked Felix, just wanted to take him a few picks later, thought they might be able to. And so I think the effort by the time you get to the draft will be trying to trade out of the draft like we saw so many years ago with the Chris Jones situation.
If they took a defensive lineman in the first round, I think that's another possibility outside the two positions you mentioned. Does that say something about Felix and Udike Uzama? If they were willing to spend another first-round pick on defensive line?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, I think they always felt like Felix was a little bit young, a little bit raw. I think if this were a conversation next year and Felix would play the same amount of snaps, for sure, definitely. I think what was telling from the Brett Breach press conference today is, and this was my question I started off, was about offensive tackle and wide receiver. And he more or less said, well, you know, we're also considering our next needs, which they eye, as you were describing, as defensive line and cornerback. And so there is the scenario where, let's say, they try to pick up the phone and go and get a receiver or tackle. Doesn't work out like they exactly what happened last year. I believe they were trying to target Zay Flowers. And, you know, they end up having to pick there. They may take the best cornerback or the best defensive lineman on their board if they can't find a trade partner where they feel like they're getting value back. And so I think those are the tier two needs. And I think it has less to do with Felix personally than it does, like, let's continue to load up these rooms that are starting to get a little lighter when it comes to the depth.
Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride, he joins us during the football season on Fridays, and when we got draft, when we got free agency heating up and all that kind of stuff, we like to have Pete Sweeney join us. So appreciate it, man, and we'll check in next week.
Thank you to you, Alex, and Cody. I mean, you're the sunshine for me on a cloudy day. That's all I got to say.
Wow, you're just going to give away the song. Just going to give away the song.
You think that gives it away, huh?
Yes.
I think it does.
I think that was too close. I think that was, we'll just leave it at that. I think that was
too close, huh?
Between, ooh, if, yeah, anybody that was picking up on it, you, yes.
Pete said maybe my best song yet. He didn't say for sure my best song yet, but he did say maybe. And I think that that's a ringing endorsement from Pete Sweeney. I'll take it. Song coming up at 12:35, Mikel Garcia. Place your wagers on him to get multiple hits now. What can I get for over half RBI or plus one and a half?
You're saying a big night.
Yeah, big night. Like over one and a half hit, over a half RBI night for Mikel Garcia. You know, like a little parlay. Maybe even an over one half extra base hit.
So to get a hit tonight, he's minus 270.
Okay.
To get... What are you saying, more than one hit?
Yeah, more than one hit.
Okay, so two plus hits tonight, Garcia would be 2-1.
Okay, like that start.
To get an RBI.
Parlay that with a ribby.
You think he gets an RBI?
Yeah.
An RBI would get you another plus 195, so we're up to almost 4-1.
I'm not making the same mistake I made right after the Vinny song, and we didn't bet it, and the man immediately started clubbing the ball. Okay, I like
4-1.
That.
4-1.
4-1. What if we add extra base hit? One of those hits is an extra base hit.
So to hit a double?
Yeah.
Or, okay, to hit a double, Garcia tonight plus 280, all of a sudden he's 9-1.
9-1 for that? Ooh.
Two hits, feels an like RBI, and one of the hits being a double. A
little 9-1-er. That's the bet I'm making. I don't know. Am I on Vern's? You know, I think originally I got to text Vern. I don't know if I'm on his pregame show, but if so, that's my bet. I'm just going to risk one whole unit on a 9-1 bet on pregame and then just lock in success for Vern's pregame show for the rest of the year for me. The last one Drew and I were on for the doubleheader, it was
Wednesday.
A perfect sweep.
Yes, it was.
My pick was right, Drew's pick was right, and Vern's picks were right. We were perfect 4-0. So if you were betting alongside Vern on the pregame show and all of us on Wednesday, you did real nice for yourself.
Yeah, I don't know who's on it tonight. Not
it might be
sure.
Me. I got to be honest.
Not sure.
He originally mentioned Friday to me, and then we didn't rediscuss it. So I'm gonna text him right now, just so everybody in the audience knows. Speaking of the Royals, people got to show up tonight, don't they? Like, we need a crowd at the K tonight and tomorrow. This feels like the kind of weekend where They're 12-7, and the attendance hasn't been good, Gold, and this is about the time that you and I would expect a swing in the positive for the attendance for the Royals. They're one of the worst teams in baseball so far.
Bottom three right now. They've had 10 home games, and they're averaging 15,500 or so. They're only ahead of the Marlins, who are, along with the White Sox, the worst team in baseball, with an average of 14,259, and then the A's just don't even count. That whole thing is a mess. We know they're only getting 6,200 a night.
And they're mostly just getting booed while they're out
there.
Yeah,
and they've had 13 games. So as far as I'm concerned, the Royals are second to last. I don't even count the A's. That team is leaving.
That's a fake team.
Yeah, so the Royals are second to last in attendance right now. And I know, hey, school's not out yet. I get it. I'm not expecting on a Wednesday night in April, no matter how the team's playing, for there to be 25,000 people out there, okay? I understand what's realistic. But it's Friday night. Got Saturday tomorrow. The weather's not terrible. It's also not 80 degrees. I recognize that, but it's also not 35 and
no,
freezing.
It's just going to be like 50. You're just going to need a
April weather in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And to me, tonight and tomorrow, that if they're not in the 24 and up 1,000 mark for one, if not both of the nights, I'll be very disappointed.
I'm
going to go out there on Sunday. That's the day I think I'm heading out there.
So you're going out there one day.
I'll be out
weekend.
There Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Look, at some point, you've asked as fans, and I don't think it's unfair. You've said, hey, I'll show up when you do something matter, and then I will attend these baseball games. And I don't think that's been all that bad of an argument over the last couple of years. Teams have to earn your respect to come there. They're right. Good. They're playing good baseball. It's early. Vern told you on our show Wednesday that Mikel Garcia is the kind of player that loves like the spotlight and the energy and the big stage. And to be honest, look at this from a long-term perspective. If for some reason this team stays in this, and we can talk about their playoff odds coming up here at noon. FanGraphs has those out. And they're, turns out, quite a bit higher than they were before the season started. But if they're going to do important things, you might want them feeling like what it's like to play an important game at Kauffman Stadium. Legitimately look at this for just a minute. When's the last time they played even this important of a series for the Royals? Certainly not at all for any of these players. Not for Bobby Wood Jr., not for Vinny Pasquantino. This is the most important series they've played as a Royal. And I get it. It's mid-April, but it is the most important series they played at the K.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the latest in the season, this group.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, it's the latest in the season, and it's only April 19th that this group has played a game that fans that already think they were done. So, you know, important series to me, it's more a series where there's legit excitement. When's the last time there was legit excitement around a series at the K? That to me, important is one thing. Like if they lose a series to the Orioles or whatever, I don't think, oh my gosh,
2016.
But it's been a very long time since there was real and I think should be excitement heading into a weekend series. Now I understand it's a busy weekend too in Kansas City. You know, there are
Sporting's in town, Current's
Sporting
in town.
And Current have games tomorrow night.
I have to be a dance contest all weekend.
Dance contest.
There might be other people involved in that.
Kids have activities. I think my nephews have like 8 different baseball and basketball games going on this weekend. It's ridiculous.
So you had to pay to get into one.
Yeah, $10 admission. I'm going to the basketball games tonight. $10 for
how old's the
for
kid?
8, 9 year olds or whatever. So
what? I gotta pay $10 to watch 9 year olds play basketball. It's not
tournament.
Even good basketball.
It's a basketball tournament. Anyway, point being, there's a lot going on. So everybody has
life is a racket.
Everybody's busy, right? Everybody's got busy weekends and all that. But man, if you were waiting for an opportunity to go see the Royals, this is a great weekend to go and do it. Where you've got a good Orioles team coming in, you got a baseball team that's playing really well, and as you said, it's just been a long time since even in April you had a series where you're like, you know what, it's a good baseball team. I can buy in.
Got
you should
juice.
Be buying in.
That's the point. Is that you are. You get a little buy-in from everybody, like you've mentioned, and then maybe they can feed off of it. We talk about this all the time, the same way as the losing thing. Winning can be a bit contagious, especially for a young group. Confidence and winning and everyone being behind them. I saw that happen with the 2013 Kansas City Royals, even more so with 14, and they carried all that momentum into 15 as well, obviously, to win the World Series. If you make them start thinking you believe in them, well, then you're going in a whole different direction in that. And that's where I think it matters, that you can boost these people towards it. You can help boost these players towards it. I get someone's like, well, it's still only April. Well, look, man, I can't tell you. I can't promise you that they're going to be good in July or August or September. I think there's a pretty good chance they're going to be competitive this entire season at this rate, the way that they're playing right now. But why not support them when they're playing well? That's what you've been asking for years.
Yeah, the bigger hey, really becoming a problem of crowds is not till after school's out. And if this team is still above 500 or around 500 and we're heading into Memorial Day weekend and after that, and you're not having good crowds, that's when I think it becomes way more of an indictment on some of the fans. I think it's still too early to be like, oh my gosh, how could you not? Because it is April and kids are still in school and there's a lot of stuff going on. But we're not far off from where I think there should be an expectation to a certain extent.
Sure.
And I know there's a lot of fans when you've been as bad as the Royals have for a long time, there's a lot of fans that are going to say, no, I got to wait till June or July. Like that's the philosophy of a lot. For some, it doesn't take much, right? Hey, just give me a reason. And the Royals to me have given you a reason to go out there. And there's others that are just going to wait. And that's fine. I think it's more so after school before I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is pathetic. What is going on here? But yeah, the crowds this week, like they should not have only 18,000 out there tonight. Okay. Like
it should be 20 tonight and 25 Saturday. And I understand 25 would still put them at league average, by the way. League average attendance is like 26, 27,000 people at a game. So like all you're asking for is just a league average amount of people for a Saturday game that starts at 6. That's not that crazy.
And I think Saturday.
And it's Grateful Dead night. That's a theme ticket one. You get the tie-dye bear.
Yeah, you got to buy the theme ticket.
But the replica World Series ring is this weekend too, right?
I think it's the 14 replica ring on Saturday. And I don't know.
So maybe it's two different things on Saturday then.
Saturday replica AL champ ring giveaway.
Oh, and Grateful
First Dead whatever. Night. I don't know, you know, what the limit is on that. And then tonight is Bring Out the Blue shirt giveaway. Those are the promotions.
Oh, the ones from Charlie Hustle.
Going out. Yeah, those are the promotions nice. That are going out. Alec Marsh on the bump tonight. 6:40 first pitch against the Orioles. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Taking on a good Orioles team. And it'll be nice to hopefully see a good crowd throughout the weekend. Up next, we get back to the Chiefs, though, a little bit with the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Out of all the opportunities that exist during training camp, Pete alluded to the competition, and maybe there's only one. How many starting spots are actually up for grabs? Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we were talking to Pete Sweeney about some of the comments from Brett Veach. We'll get back into those in particular a little bit later on, as Veach had his press conference before next Thursday's first round of the NFL draft. And in our conversation with Pete, we were going through the competition at left tackle. And is there any other area, though, when we're sitting up in St. Joe and it's day three of practice and we're like, man, got to keep an eye on this competition? Is left tackle the only one? Because you go through it, you know, cornerback between, unless they draft one, between Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson. Okay, they're both start. I mean, depending on how you want to look at it.
I think they'd have to be drafted high enough to be said there's an open spot at corner. It's right. Not open if they take him in the third. It's only open if they take him in the first.
Because everywhere on the offensive line other than left tackle is, I don't care what they do in the draft, other than left tackle will be solidified. Nothing's happened with Tooney and Trey Smith. And
you can't take Pacheco's job.
Nope. And obviously, you got your tight end is taken care of. Wide receiver, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown are your ones and twos. It's pretty simple. I don't care if they trade up to 15. It's still going to be those two as your one and
yep.
two. And defensive line, on one side, you know you got Carl Loftus. In the interior, it's Chris Jones. And on the other side, I think it's pretty clear. It's going to be Mike Dana initially batting. I guess a slight battle. I don't know if I'll call it a real competition.
Felix.
Maybe. I expect
maybe
initially.
Maybe it's a 40-40 split. You know they do it at defensive line if he plays well.
And then linebacker, No competition going on there. We know what the linebacker.
They gave Drew Tranquil a contract for a reason. Nick Bolton is there, so that's a lot. Like, when he said that, I was like, oh, for the second consecutive year, because last year was like this too. Remember the way they drafted. For the second consecutive year, the Chiefs are currently trying to draft zero starters other than maybe left tackle. Maybe. Other than that, I know they're trying to draft starters. I mean, they don't need, like last year, they did not draft a single guy who walked onto the field and started for them. They specifically, I believe, referenced it as a depth draft. We're back to depth again? Now, look, I think in the first round this time, they can't be going for project first rounder for the second consecutive year. Like, well, he's raw.
Now, Rice ended up being a starter, right?
He did.
You know, it took week eight or whatever it was.
Ish. Yeah, they ended up getting a starter out of it. I think Shamari Connor has a chance to be a starter essentially this year. It doesn't mean those guys can't fall into it. But they went into the draft, and week one, week two, week three, none of those guys were starters. Some were contributors, but they certainly weren't out of the gate guys who just made plays for this team. This year feels very similar because what you just said. Think about it from a second tier. All right, so we think there's one starting job open that is undecided for sure. That's left tackle. Every other one seems like it's just kind of decided, I'll be honest. Like, I can't think of a single other position where it's not just determined, except for maybe a first-round pick taking someone's job. Maybe. At the second level, what are you looking for? Maybe a backup running back? Swing guard, swing tackle, right? So a backup, that's up for grabs. Fourth linebacker, fourth corner. I mean, you're pretty far down the depth chart. Really, you are answering questions for who is a player we can draft now that can start for us a year and a half from now. As crazy as that is, it seems like that might be where the Chiefs actually are.
But that's how you build out the dynasty. I mean, the reason why the draft a couple years ago ended up being multiple guys that started for this team. But if you're building the dynasty out and you got to have cheap, cost-effective guys on your roster long-term when you know that eventually maybe you're not going to pay, like we just saw play out, you're not going to pay Legarius Sneed. So you drafted Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams, perhaps, and Trent McDuffie too. But like you know, like now, like, what's the next position that you feel you're either going to have to pay somebody or they're just going to
linebackers one if you don't pay Bolton, and guard.
It could be, and wide receiver is still a need for a variety of. I think it fits both. Yeah. It's now and it's also for long term because under contract after this upcoming season is what Rashee Rice. Sky Moore will have like the final year or so of, or 2 years of his rookie deal. And that's it. Justin Watson's deal is done after this year. Kadarius Toney, even if he makes the team, this is 1 year left on his contract. So you go through the wide receiver room and it's not only this year, but that is a pick that would set you up for the next 3+ years. So that's why everybody naturally thinks they're going to draft multiple wide receivers.
Yeah. Because if from a long-term perspective, I would say, look, running back always, but I don't care because it can be drafted whenever, but from a long-term perspective, wide receiver is number one in the, you don't have a lot of long-term solutions. Like you just don't, you've got everyone on a 1 year deal. And I think Brett Veach today, when he was speaking to the media did say, hey, we feel lucky we've got him here for a year. I don't blame you. He's like, he's going to price himself. He's going to get himself a nice little payday moving forward. Because he is.
Best deal of the offseason.
Most likely, yes. For a wide receiver, no better deal was to be had. For price and length and risk, there is none, essentially, for the Chiefs. Even if it blew up in their face, it can only set them back so far. It's a one-year deal for very little money by NFL wide receiver standpoints. But you do still need long-term answers there. And I think you need long-term answers at offensive line. Because if this isn't the draft you get left tackle in, and there's a chance that it isn't, if this is the draft you do not get your future left tackle in, then Tooney is not for sure in the long haul. Creed is not for sure in the long haul. Trey is not for sure in the long haul. And Jawan Taylor, based on current level of play, probably at least one more year after this one. But that means you've got 2 seasons worth of runway on that with no other definitive answers. And if I don't have any definitive answers except for one guy in the offensive line for 2 years, well, then I kind of have to draft at that position. This is what that draft starts to feel like. Maybe guards higher than we think. Maybe they take a guard in the second round. Maybe they take a guard in the third round because they're going to need answers at those positions moving forward.
Well, I think a guard outside of the first round at some point would make a ton of sense. You lost Nick Allegretti. I mean, and he was the guy that was a depth piece, and then potentially it sets you up, as you were saying, if they end up not signing Trey Smith to a long-term deal, well, then did you have somebody going into the following year that won't be a rookie and that you're confident in? It's way more likely that you would also just start a rookie at guard than you would at tackle. Like just
Trey Smith started as a rookie.
Exactly. It's just,
who did he, like,
yeah, we went through this a couple weeks ago. I think
he didn't have the job. Someone got hurt, and then Trey Smith just never lost it. I thought it was Remmers, but I can't remember now.
Or LDT. I can't.
Yeah, it was one of the two.
I think LDT was the COVID year or the year after when he decided to step away. Point being, it's more likely that you would see a team start a rookie at guard than a rookie at left tackle, unless, again, they find a tackle and they get him in the first round and it's a much higher pick. Thinking of just what could happen, this one won't directly impact the Chiefs as much because I don't think they're doing this, but there's a lot of trade rumors right now around a stud wide receiver that's already playing in the league, and that's Brandon Ayuk, who's out in San Francisco. We know the talent they have on that roster. Some trade demands. On Sunday, there was a rumor that kind of leaked out a little bit that Ayuk could demand a trade, although
I
saw some people squash that pretty quick. Basically, it also had rumored interest from Baltimore and Pittsburgh and a, quote, mystery team, which is always – you always love when you get a mystery team out there because everybody thinks it's their team.
Is it the Chiefs, though? I mean, team.
Wouldn't you just be stunned? Just flat out stunned, but knowing what it would take.
Could you imagine, like, let's just say that they would take number 32 overall for it and next year's second. You imagine what people would be saying if all of a sudden Ayuk was there? I'm trying to figure out, because here's the thing. Maybe it's not Ayuk, but you and I both know one big trade's still going to happen. Lately, the best guess has been wide receiver. Like, I know Devontae Adams has been like, well, if I wanted to leave, I would have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, it's easy to say that right now on April 19th, 6 days before the draft. Maybe the Raiders start calling around. Like, I don't think they're in that position because I don't think that they're new head coach in that situation, but typically, the big trades have happened around that player. For the Chiefs a couple of years ago, it was Orlando Brown Jr. So if it's not Ayuk, who is the big trade? I think it's Ayuk. I think Ayuk is going to get traded.
What's trickier about him, though, he's still under contract for this year. And then you still, if you're the Niners, have control via franchise tag the year after. Like, so you'd be giving up 2 years of control while you still have Brock Purdy making no money by NFL standards or whatever.
Like,
that's why I just find it hard to believe that they would actually pull the trigger on a trade. If I'm the Niners, why would I do that? I still have Debo and Kittle. Kittle's turning 30 now or 31. You have this group. We know Brock Purdy was awfully impressive last year. Christian McCaffrey still has not shown a sign of falling off. He was great this past season.
He was the best running back in football again.
Yeah, and then you have Ayuk. Maybe you agree that he's going to be the guy you're just not going to pay. Okay, normally I'd say, oh, well, then go ahead and trade him. But they have, that's like next year, I guess, is where I'm at. They have him under contract right now, plus the ability to tag him next offseason. That's, to me, like, next offseason is when I could see him getting traded.
A lot of this is predicting where we think the trends in the NFL is going to go as it relates to wide receiver. The most recent trend has been star wide receivers for sure getting traded. But with as many good, we talked about this a little bit a couple days ago, but with as many good wide receivers are coming into the league, at some point the new trend could just be everyone is willing to let go of the 900 to 1,000 yard wide receiver either early via trade to the team that doesn't want to wait for a free agency or just letting them become a free agent, like T. Higgins. T. Higgins is a really good wide receiver. In previous iterations of the NFL, T. Higgins wouldn't have been let go at any point by Cincinnati, and he hasn't been yet, but he wouldn't even be like an option to be let go. They would just hold on to Chase and Higgins. But because so many good wide receivers in the league now, I think the like 900,000 yard guys of the world are going to be a lot easier to like move on from and think you can replace either in free agency or in the draft or whatever.
He's making $14 million this year. 913-586-7610 is the text line. I saw someone say, hey, they can't afford him. I agree that, let's say you're not going to pay him long term. I'm with you.
They're trying to win a Super Bowl.
But you still have a year of $14 million and then still a franchise tag opportunity. So if I'm in the Niners spot, I just wouldn't do it. Maybe they will. I'm just saying if I were the Niners, I would not give up on Ayuk now. He's going to play for you this year at $14 million. He's 26 years old. You roll it back, run it back one more time with him. And then in the offseason, maybe that's when you trade him because you recognize you're not going to be able to pay him. If he was already on the tag right this second,
Sure.
Then I would probably be with you more like, oh, well, that makes a ton of sense to trade him. I don't know why you would trade him when you still have a pretty reasonable contract. $14 million this year for his production is a great deal.
If they did trade him, too, in terms of how it impacts the draft position, obviously they're picking ahead of the Chiefs. They're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round as well. So that adds another team in front of the Chiefs that has to, in all likelihood, take a wide receiver.
Maybe it already happened, you know, like the trade. Maybe we should just be like, well, Diggs got traded. That was the big wide receiver trade that was going to happen before the draft. And we should just, you know, let it die in that situation. You know, other teams, I've seen people mention, like, even though they brought him back on the 1 year deal, like, do they do something with Bosa on the rework? You know, like, there's all these players that did get mentioned for a little bit. And hell, the second other San Francisco, Debo Samuel's been mentioned in those conversations, just the same as Ayuk has been mentioned in those conversations. And honestly, if you were getting rid of one, and I just said the theory of the, like, 1,000-yard guy, actually Debo's that guy in this scenario, not Ayuk.
Yeah, so it's on the flip side, and it's a fair point. I still wouldn't do it, but they said, hey, if you trade him now, obviously you get more for Ayuk because he has the year left. That's a fair point. Yeah. But again,
you're giving him money if you trade for him.
You're the Niners who are still in position to win a Super Bowl. You're just in the Super Bowl. So I just wouldn't trade Debo Samuel. And by the way, Brock Purdy's really good. He's not Patrick Mahomes, because I know someone's sitting out there saying, like, well, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and they still won a Super Bowl the next year.
Slight difference.
Brock Purdy's very good. Very, very good. He's not Patrick Mahomes, though. So I just don't believe you can keep eliminating weapons and say you're good. And you're not going to get, we all love draft picks, but if you're going to get more for Ayuk, and I think you're correct right now, are you getting someone that's going to step in with those picks right away while your window on a rookie quarterback contract? Are you getting someone that's going to meet that production? I don't think so.
I would just never trade away weapons from a quarterback until they're making money. Like, and I think that's part of why the Bengals have been so insistent on holding on to T. Higgins for this 1 year. They're like, Burrow's big number hasn't kicked in yet. We got one more year. We can just roll T. Higgins out there. Roll him out there with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Try to win the Super Bowl. Live our lives to fight another day. Try to take his replacement in the draft this year. But while they're still cheap, it is, to me, it's just not very good strategy to be like, what if we start getting rid of their weapons now because we're going to have to pay them eventually? You don't have to pay them now. Brock Purdy doesn't even make bad quarterback money. He makes hysterically bad quarterback money. He doesn't even make the kind of money that we talk about where, like, Patrick Mahomes was still on his rookie deal when he was the 10th overall pick. He makes last pick in the draft money. He got a raise this year that seemed significant, based on pay or play, the same way that Trey Smith and other guys got, like, performance-based raises. And now he makes, like, $1.5 million. He makes less than your backup fullback. Most teams don't even keep a fullback, let alone a backup one. They don't. Nobody keeps
him. He was still living with a roommate, wasn't he, this past football season?
He couldn't afford a place. And that's not, like, I'm not
being that's also where he lives, but yes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not being hyperbolic. It would have been hard for Brock Purdy to have afforded a place based on everybody he has to pay to live in San Francisco, on top of the fact that he was a unproven rookie in the seventh round, so he's paying a bunch of, like, health experts to try to make sure that his body was NFL caliber. The man was living with, like, a roommate's parents. I don't know. I don't remember the story now, but yeah, he didn't have his own place. He could probably get his own place now.
I think he's good. He just got married, too.
It's probably a two-bed.
He just got married, so I'm assuming they've got their own place now.
What do you think she makes?
No idea. My guess is she's not working.
Yeah, it depends on the relationship.
Because by NFL Monday, we're like, oh, he's not making any money. He's still making over $1 million a year. I don't know. If your spouse making over $1 million a year, I don't know if you need to work.
I probably wouldn't want to work, but, you know.
I don't know if you need to work.
My wife is more than welcome to get a job that pays her $1 million a year, and I will quit.
Sure.
We're not even going to need her to work that job very long. She could probably quit in about 5 years. We'll be fine. Just all I need you to do is grind this out for just a little bit, and we'll be squared away. I mean, it's not like, you know. Like, none of them work. I'm trying to see. Man, they got married in Des Moines?
Well, he went to high school, or not high school. He went to college at Iowa State, so they probably met. Maybe she's from there. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's where her family's at.
I'm trying to see. This is not gonna tell me what she does for a living, so I don't know why I'm even looking at it. But
I feel like that'd be something that'd be hard to find.
I mean,
the latest story, Brock Purdy saved a reporter and her dog from a coyote attack.
What? Oh, wow. Wait, is that a real story?
Yeah. That happened when I just Googled his name and just came across. I did not know about it until just now. On a San Francisco street, the 49ers quarterback said he noticed a coyote creeping on a woman and her dog. The former Iowa State standout said he yelled over the woman and scared the animal away. She happened to be a CBS news anchor. Quote, "We're shooting this commercial on a hill on the outside of the city. I see this thing trotting by that has a big tail. I was like, that looks like a mini wolf. No one else was going to scream. So I screamed, "Yo, there's a coyote." That thing went running off. It could have been an ugly day on the shoot, but we saved her.
Yo, there's a coyote.
That's man. Funny.
Brock Purdy, American hero, saving people from coyotes.
Or their puppies from coyotes. Probably would have gone for the small dog.
She said
dog
she was. She suddenly heard Brock scream, "Coyote."
That's great. If they don't make that an audible next year, like his coyote, coyote.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like waving your arms out to the side. Why not?
And he's got a partnership with John Deere, was announced earlier on Tuesday. And the two launched a manhunt for the company's first chief tractor officer.
Someone asked, does her dad still pay for the wedding? Probably depends on how much money he makes.
Oh.
Yeah, if he makes a whole big ton of cash, I'm sure he doesn't care. But if he's just like middle class, I'm sure Brock Purdy ponies up for a little bit.
I also think that old school mentality is changing a little bit. Like the notion of like always the daughter's parents pay, that is shifting quite a bit.
I think whoever has the most money should pay the most.
Usually,
that's my opinion.
More and more now, there's just like more and more it's a split cost. Like the back in the day, it was always like, oh, the bride's family's got to pay for it. That's changing. That's not it.
It's not how ours worked. I mean, yeah, her parents did give us some money.
Oh, well, sure.
But my parents did too, and then we paid for it. Yeah. You know, like,
but there was always like this older school thought, like that's how it went, and it's more of a split thing now, which seems to make more sense to me.
I mean, yes. Otherwise, you're going to need to marry someone rich if you want a really nice wedding, Alex. You need to marry someone's family who's rich, or their family needs to be rich. They don't themselves need to be rich. How big of a wedding would? What's the size of wedding in which you would
I
be
have
okay with?
No clue, dude. Not something I've
300 people? 200 people? 100 people?
A normal size wedding. Whatever. Just a normal
probably
size.
Like 200 people.
A normal size wedding. It also depends how big the other person's, your spouse's family is. You know? She's got a massive family. Well, then automatically that is going to raise the... I mean, I don't know. We've got a coworker, obviously, and Rob, who's getting married this summer. And yeah. I think he invited like the whole station. Sure. So that's already going to add to the numbers at the wedding.
Can I give one piece of unsolicited... It is both marriage, dating, and parental advice. All in one. I was thinking more about that this morning, especially as it relates to like sports and what we do for a living. If the person in your life, your loved one, your wife, your daughter, if they're really into the Taylor Swift thing today, you should not knock it in any way. And as a matter of fact, if you go through even just the slightest effort to show some interest in their interest, it'll go a really long way. So my daughter likes Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I have listened to a number of the songs on the Taylor Swift album. So to have something related, for the same reason I know all these smiling critters that my son likes. Showing a small amount of interest in the thing they like, but specifically just not bashing it. I want you to think about how much time, if you're just like, I can't understand why they would be up at midnight listening to 31 tracks. It makes no sense to me. Don't say that to them. Why would you ever say that to them, even if it doesn't compute to you? You probably spent 45 minutes on ESPN.com looking up an offensive tackle's arm length the other day. We are not allowed to judge micro focuses of interest. I'm just telling you, if they're really into it, just show support for how into it they are. Help them make a themed cocktail while they listen to it tonight. Listen to a couple of the songs and be like, that one's pretty dope, and move on. Even if it's not your thing, the slightest bit of interest for your kid, for your significant other, whoever you're dating, it goes a million miles away rather than somehow like being critical of their interests.
I think the reaction seems to be pretty positive anyway, because there's Travis Kelce mentions essentially in two of the songs, two things that reference him. And so I think that's getting everybody on board here locally.
For sure, it seems like Alchemy is, I mean, there's just like 7,000.
That's the one.
There's 7,000 football references in it. Am I supposed to assume that's not about
Touchdown,
him?
Touchdown, trophy.
A lot of people think the high school song is also has got some vibes about him. But I also think that one, listen to that one. It just seems to like hit a nostalgia point for anybody our age.
Yeah, right? I mean, a lot of people think Ed Kelce got maybe a little shout out.
Mm. Ed?
There's a line that says, I feel like laughing in the middle of practice to that impression you did of your dad again.
Oh, man. Ed Kelce
getting
some love.
I think Ed might have got a shout out. In one of the Taylor Swift songs, yes.
Someone says, I've been sending my wife Taylor Swift stuff all day. Easiest one ever. Make them a Taylor Swift themed cocktail where they sit down, you know, get them a new shirt. Doesn't matter. Easy things to do in here. But yeah, I've listened to, I don't know, like six of the songs. I just put
it on.
I mean,
I'm not listening to 31 of them. I can tell you that. I'll listen to the two that everybody was talking about, and then whatever other one becomes a hit, and I'll be good. I don't need to listen to 31
of them.
You're not going to go
through. The odds of me getting through the entire album are somewhat low. I like a decent amount of her music, but it's not like an entire album I would listen to. But I mean, this is, again, this is just the easy advice. I really hope that she gave Ed Kelsey a shout out, by the way.
When does your family go on the road trip to
July.
Colorado?
July.
You will listen to the whole album then.
Maybe. It just depends on like her interest and his interest wane in the music department. Mm. You never know what's good, what the new album of the day is. It has been Taylor Swift at other times. Her current favorite artist is Selena Gomez. So I know a bunch of Selena Gomez songs. But again, my son likes all kinds of random stuff. You're like, I guess I need to learn. He's like, I want to show you this thing on Roblox. I'm like, okay, show me what Brookhaven is. Do I really care? No, I don't. Do I be like, ooh, super cool, man. Great stuff. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
what's it hurt?
Yeah.
That's their interest. Just be interested in their things, even a little bit.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. And the percentage chance now keeps going up for the Royals to do something special this season. Plus, we'll, at 12:30, find out what the next slump-busting song is from Cody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.